I think I've got the scriptures up there. If you can find them, that would be good. It saves me reading them, but if you can't, I'll get them. Genesis 16. I apologize. I sent the PowerPoint to the desk in PDF instead of PowerPoint, so they've had to adjust it all. And so it's my fault. All right. Genesis 16, verses 1 to 16. I will read it if you will follow. It's the story of Hagar and Ishmael. The story of Hagar and Ishmael. One man dealing with two women. I'll say that again. One dealing with two women, two different types of problems. Eh? And he wasn't the man everyone thought he was. He needed a smack sometimes, that man. But anyway, read. You got to understand, Hagar was the Egyptian slave of Sarah. She was Egyptian. She had already been a slave for 13 years before anything happened, before it came into Sarah's head that she wanted to birth a child through her slave. Hagar. This relationship Hagar had with Abraham wasn't a love relationship at all. You got to understand where she came from. She didn't have any interest in this. She was already broken. She was already bruised. She was already battered around. She was a slave, for goodness sake. She had to do what she was told. She had to be what she had to be. And then she had to prostitute herself to him because he wanted to have sex with her so she could have a baby. There was issues in the house. Serious issues in the house. And we're going to read a little bit about Hagar. And though there might be issues in the house, if you keep a hold of the issues, it will taint your house. I want to say that again. If you keep a hold of the issues, it will taint your house. It will a generation after you. Amen. God always gives you a way of escape in the midst of the dilemma. But if you don't take the way and you go your own way, if I go my own way, it will taint my house. Amen. And I believe with all my heart here this morning, a lot of children specifically that have backslidden or are no longer in the house of God is because something has happened in the house. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. Hagar literally means to flee. All right? So Sarah said to Abraham, "See now, they'll restrain me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain a child by her." And Abraham heeded her the voice of Sarah. Well, of course he would have. Let's be honest. Of course he would have. Now, the conversation wasn't being Hagar. She was not involved in the conversation. She was just going to do what she's had to be told to do. Then Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abraham, after Abraham had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went into Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Hagar had an attitude. Hagar has an attitude. She's pregnant. She knew she was pregnant. And now she looked down upon her master because she had something her master couldn't have. Amen? Are you with me this morning? Then Sarah said to Abraham, "My wrong on you. I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes." In other words, she said, "Abraham, you never protected me. You let her belittle me. You let her despise me in front of you, and you never said a word. My shame be upon you." So Abram quickly said this, "Do it unto her as you wish." He passed the buck. He quickly passed the buck. My maid saw that she had conceived. I became despised in her eyes, and the Lord judged between you and me. So Abram said to Sarah, indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do as you please. And when Sarah dealt harshly with her, she wasn't very kind to Hagar. She had been dealt harshly by her master. And sometimes when you get dealt with by God, we retract. She ran. Anyone ever been by the Lord? Anyone ever felt like running? Yes. It was normal for her to want to run because the dealings of God are never usually pleasant. They address things in our life. Amen. She was being addressed because of her rebellion. She was being addressed because of her attitude. She was being addressed because she was contentious. She wasn't submissive to her master. Amen. Are you with me? It literally means master. All right. So Abraham said to Sarah, indeed you did it. Deal harshly with her. And she fled from her presence. Verse 7. The angel of the Lord found her in a spring of water by the wilderness. Who found her? The Lord found her by the spring in the way. In other words, she was going back to Egypt. Because sometimes when people are hurt, they'll always go back to what they first knew. All right. And he said, the angel, Hagar, Sarah's maid, have you come from? And where are you going? Isn't it amazing how God tries to bring clarity to the situation? She said, I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarah. And the angel said to her, return to your mistress, your Lord, your master. Return to your master. Return to your master and submit yourself under your hand. You see, when someone has attitude and someone has something against someone, and when someone's in rebellion, and when speaking things they shouldn't speak and doing things they shouldn't do, and looking upon people the way they shouldn't look upon people, and dressing down people the way they shouldn't dress down people, and having an attitude of pride and rebellion in their life, God addresses it. And he said to her, go to your Lord. Turn around and go back to your master. To deal with rebellion in my heart and things in my life, to deal with the true issues of my heart, I must turn back to the Lord. What turned back to the Lord, the angel of the Lord then says something to her that was contrary to everything that was in her heart. Submit. Submit. You want me to submit? You want me to submit to what they've done? You want me to surrender? And you want me to come into a place where my life and my heart gets challenged and changed to suit the master? You want me to do that? Yeah. So when there's contention and strife and things happening in my life, God will address the problem in you. You had a wrestle in her heart. There was something happening in her. This woman has already felt broken. This woman already knew she was pregnant, but felt abused and used. This woman did not come from a happy, chappy family. And she developed something in her spirit that was contrary to the word. Yet God heard and God saw. God heard and God saw. I'll go on because it says that. Where am I? Where did I get up to? Verse 10. Thanks, son. Someone's listening. And the angel of the Lord said to her, I will exceedingly multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that the Lord shall be counted as in a multitude. The angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are with child, you shall bear a son. You shall call him Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. In other words, he's going to be a man of war. In other words, he's got an anger issue. He has an anger issue. And the reason he's got an anger issue, the reason he had an anger issue, because if you don't deal with what you've got in your heart, he will walk in it. He will walk in it. And every man's hand will be against him, and he shall draw his brethren. And she came to the name of the, sorry, she came called the name of the Lord, who spoke to her, "Are you the God who sees?" She said, "I also hear, seen him, and he sees me." Therefore the well was called Beher Laharoi. Observe it between Kadesh and Beharad. So Hagar bore Abraham a son. She went back. She went back. She went back to the house. She went back to the house, yet her heart changed not. She went back. She went back to a house whose man, who the man of the house, was called the father of faith. She had experienced, her son had experienced the covenant of circumcision at 13. She would have saw the three men visiting Abraham before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. She would have saw the judgment of God on Sodom before she fled. She saw all that. She witnessed all that. But so great was her pain, she refused to allow God to minister to her pain. And she kept something locked in her heart. Though she was in the house, she was not of the house. Though she was in the house, she was of the house. And there was a murmuring happening in her heart. And when someone or something begins to bubble up within you where you find it very difficult to submit to God and so that part of your life, I'm going to tell you, you're in a spiritual battle. Because you and I have been designed to repent. You are in a spiritual battle. There are two main enemies of our soul that will try and keep me from the presence of the Lord and from a place of humility. I'm going to quickly rush over these, so I haven't got too much time, but it'll be up there somewhere as he flicks through it. The first one will be a Jezebel spirit. When I talk about these things, they are neither male nor female. They can attach themselves both to male and female. They are not gender. They will attack anyone. Okay? Her name, Jezebel, and you've probably heard me say this before, means partially married. She will never allow you to fully commit to the things of God. You can play church. You can do church. But never, that spirit will never want you to give your heart wholly to God. It will manipulate you where you feel the victim forever. And everyone else is at fault. And all of a sudden your mouth is blame. They start to blame people for where they're at. They start to blame people for this and blame people for that. And I'm not trying to rub people up the wrong way here. But if it's a woman that has a husband in the house and she has got a spirit of Jezebel attached to her, what will happen is she will rise up and try to take the dominion of the authority of the man, yet try to be submissive as a wife on the outside. But when it is in the quiet time of home and they're alone, he will be like Ahab. He will shut his mouth to try and keep peace in his house because she will not submit to him. And what happens is that's affected her. Listen to my words here this morning, will infect her children. That thing which is affecting her life because she can't find her in her heart to forgive. She can't find in her heart to repent. A spirit of Jezebel, this is her main thing. She has to be right. At the expense of her own children and her husband. She needs to be right. Right feeds her. Right justifies her. Are you hearing me? So this spirit tries to keep, and it tries to infect households, because if it can shut the mouth of the man, it shut the influence of the head. Are you with me? And I believe that's why a lot of children today, of people that are going to church, but they are no longer going to church, is because a Jezebel, could be one, that's one of them, could attach itself into the household, and the children see a disorder in the house and they say, I don't want that. I don't want that. And they get a wrong perception of Jesus. Amen. And the true order of God. The second spirit that will the Bible talks about and that really tries to infect Christians is Leviathan. The spirit of Leviathan. I know it sounds woo, woo, woo. These things are real. These things are true. These are not made up things. Leviathan, I think it's in Job 41. Leviathan, the first verse in Leviathan says that he is a serpent. The best interpretation for Leviathan is a crocodile. He's a beast. It's spiritual. It is not natural. It is spiritual. Amen? It is spiritual. Leviathan, chapter 41, I believe verse 21 or 22, says this. What is it? Yeah, that's it, 34. That's it. Bible says he is king of pride. That's his title. The word Leviathan literally means king of pride. Are you with me? He beholds every high thing, it says in 4. He is king and ruler over all the children of pride. So when a person's caught up in pride, he refuses to repent and turn away from the sin, because pride is not just a sin, it's an abomination. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? These seven things the Lord hates. Proverbs 6. These seven things, and the first one he mentions is what? Pride. He hates pride so much because pride was the thing that made Lucifer fall from heaven. In fact, the Bible says he smote the look of pride from his face. He hates pride. And if I allow pride to rise apart, and pride is fed from things like this, I'm right, you're wrong. I'm right, you're wrong. And there's no ability to surrender one to another, esteeming one another greater than themselves. If there's no ability to put on the work of the Spirit in your life, what you're doing is you're esteeming yourself greater than another. And it is a form of pride. And when pride is in the house, and pride is in the heart, this is what it says, the spirit of Leviathan, nothing pierces him. It says his heart is a heart of stone. He is firm, he moved, he is unable to bend. In other words, he's unbendable. He will not bow. It refuses to bow. You can read that in verse 24, 23, mainly of Job. 24, 23 of 41. 23, 24 of 41 says that he has got a heart of stone. In fact, the whole thing describes him as a beast. And he wants the sons of man of God and the God to not allow their hearts to be softened enough so they can repent and turn away from the hardness of heart and take away the heart of stone and give God, get restored back to a heart of flesh. He doesn't want that. He wants you caught up in your pain. He wants you caught up in your sorrow. He wants you to be caught up in the yesterday. He wants your yesterday to be dragged into your future. Hello, Hagar. He wants you. You might be in the house, but you're not of the house. And what he wants you to do, he wants to separate and isolate you to you. Justification to feel how you feel. And guess what? Everything behind me is infected. It's in. Are you with me? Her son experienced covenant of circumcision. She and her son would have seen the three men. I've said all that. You see her go back. All of a sudden, I think it's chapter 2 of Genesis. It says, and Sarah conceived. She was a happy mum. But she had an unhappy rival who still despised her, down upon her, who still didn't want anything to do with her. It says in verse 8 of 21, so the child grew and was weaned, that was Isaac. And Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar. Who did she see? Not Hagar, the son. Listen what the son did. The son of Hagar the Egyptian, who she had born to Israel, and what was he doing? He was acting like his mum. Now he's acting like his mum. And that's exactly what happens. When there's a lack of repentance and when there's a lack, when I do not deal with my issues, when I refuse to allow the Holy Ghost to bend me, when I allow the king of pride to dominate my heart and my spirit, what happens is, monkey see? And all of a sudden, the generation behind sees. I'm going to throw something out. It is not the devil that has stopped a lot of the children coming back into the house of the Lord. It's the actions and reactions of their parents because they've seen something they did not like. And we need to get our stuff together. Hear me, we need to get our stuff together. Because God is a God of opportunity and He always makes a way for me, even in my desert, to hear and to see. He gave Hagar an opportunity in her desert to see and to hear. What she did was she only took part of it. I need to apply all of it. I cannot afford to apply a partial part of it in my life. I must take a hold of everything He has said. Amen. There was a man that was made the first king in Israel. Anyone know his name? King Saul. King Saul met the prophets on the way to find his donkeys. Is that true? And all of a sudden, they wanted to break bread. And they had three loaves, the Bible says, but he only partook of what? Two loaves. In other words, he never received the fullness of the bread of the Word of God. And therefore, he wrestled his life. Never will you see Ahab call God, God. He never made him Lord. He never sought God. He sought Samuel. And if he couldn't find Samuel, he sought a witch. Because he never applied the fullness of the word of the bread of God to his life. He only wanted what he wanted to eat. Are you with me? Because, let's be honest, the chastisement of God is usually not pleasant. But he chastens those whom he loves. Hallelujah. It's a sign that he loves me. It's actually a sign that he loves me. That he loves me enough to say, to line. Right now in the nations of the world, there are 56 countries that have banned correction of children. There is another two coming on board, Scotland and Wales of the kingdom, that are outlawing punishment to children. They're saying children shouldn't be able to make up their own mind. We need to guide them. My Bible says, train up as you go, spare the rod, spoil the child. You do not have to tell a child how to sin. I do not have to teach a child to do bad things. All my training is, do the bad things. And if you're given something that is inherently bad, a choice to be good, you've got to be kidding me. What a joke. Spoil the rod, spoil the child. God doesn't spare his rod. He won't spoil you. who wants you to bring come forth in an image of a son. But he wants me to deal with the issues of my life, because he's not just a God, your God, he's a generational God. And he doesn't want you to pass down your lack, because we and you and I refuse my issues. Hear me. And if you come from a house that had them issues in your life, you can bring change into that house. If you, even if your children are fully grown and adults, the power of prayer. Hear me. God will orchestrate divine appointments and connections for your children, and the seed has never left them. The seed has never left them. Hear me. The seed has never left them, and God will stir the seed again. Glory to God. But guess what? The first thing they're going to look at? Home. Has anything changed at home? Sarah tells Abraham, Hagar, the boy Ishmael must go. Once she saw that this was not going to be able to be compromised, she says, the boy Ishmael must go. Abraham is hurt. Why? Because he loves him. Don't forget, he had him for 13 years before Isaac was born. He loved him. He had been putting into his life, this man of faith, had been putting into his life, and I can prove it in a minute. He listened to the voice of the Lord, and he gives her a, so what he does, he didn't want to do it. And the angel of the Lord said to Abram, listen to your wife. Men, sometimes it's a good thing to listen to your Sarah. Sometimes it's a wise thing to listen to your Sarah. If you have a Sarah. And if you don't have a Sarah, you've got God, and he doesn't lie. So you better listen. Statement. You can't birth promise and live with brokenness. I'm going to say that again. You can't birth promise if you want to live with brokenness. Promise and pain cannot cohabitate. One or the other has to go. Hagar leaves, the water runs, separates herself from the boy. Lifts up her voice and she starts to weep. Not put in brackets, to who? Because she certainly didn't surrender herself to Jesus. She separates herself from the boy, lifts up her voice and weeps. To who? An angel appears to her and says, what ails you, Hagar? What's your issue? What's your problem? She experienced her brother, God who sees and God who hears, had fallen to a place where she refused to deal with her issues. God didn't hear Hagar because she never humbled herself enough to know him. And she was stuck. She was stuck. And the next verse, it says this, and God listened to the lad. And God listened to the voice of the lad. Ishmael had been taught how to pray. And it never left him. So in the midst of his dilemma and in the midst of his issue, in the midst of his problem, he got far enough away from her who had control. He could cry out to the God of his father, and God heard him. Hear me. If you deal with the issues, the seed in your children will hear their cry and he will visit them in their hour. Amen. Once she was far enough away in her influence, he prayed to God of Abraham, his father, who had taught him to pray, and God heard him. But her influence of control had... Verse 21, 20. So God saw the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness. He became an archer. I think it's in Deuteronomy. It says he actually became a wild man, like an untrained donkey. He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran. Now look at the next few words. And it was who? His mother took a wife for him. not him. Such was still the control that he couldn't even choose his own wife. And she chose a woman of Egypt. Yet she could have chosen someone from Abraham's house because he was a son of Abraham. She went back to new. She stayed in her pain. And she infected the child. Are you with me this morning? Living with brokenness, bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, no matter how justified, I see the doors of my heart to fill with pride. And this spirit of Leviathan causes a stony, unmoved heart that is firm. Unless I humble myself and submit myself to the Master, it can have no consequences. In my desert, he is the God who sees. In my time of thirst, he is the God who hears. All I need to do is turn and humble myself to the Master to be healed. That's all I've got to do. But Leviathan will want you to stay full of pride. Leviathan will want you not to be able to bend. Leviathan, and in fact it says this, no fiery dart, no javelin, nothing could penetrate. It's so tough, so hard on the outside. And you know, it does affect you physically. Do you know, unforgiveness can affect you physically, and it can affect your appearance. It can affect the way you move. It can affect how you speak. It can harden not just your heart. It can harden everything about you. Just the look of you, people don't want to be around. It's a spirit. Hear me, it's a spirit. Next one, please, if you can. You can't. My book. It's all right. In my desert place, he is God who sees. In my time of thirst, he is the God who hears. What I've got to be brave enough to do is repent. And the minute I have, that curse is broken. The minute I do, I have an ability to see a different house. And the minute they do, the Lord who hears and sees can minister to them at their divine moment. And when they look to you, they see a different house. Are you with me? I believe when that starts to happen in the church, we'll start to see the prodigal sons and daughters return. I believe that. I believe when they see a house functioning the way it should function, when there's free-flowing forgiveness and mercy and grace flowing in the house, when there's no control, when there's no telling them what you should do and when you should do, and this is the one you should marry and this is the one I don't want you to marry. When you stop all that, when that manipulation stops and they see the freedom in the Holy Ghost, hear me, I'll tell you when you know there's still a problem. When the person that's got it starts to get the jitters, they're losing control. They feel it. And they're vulnerable. And if that thing has affected me, there's only one person I need to be vulnerable before. The Lord. She turned and went back to Sarah, her master. I need to be vulnerable before him. And he will heal my brokenness. He will heal my pain. He will heal my abuse. He will heal my hurt. And I can truly say this, old things have passed. All things have now become new. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Closed, every head bowed this morning. You might have been in a fight, and it could have been for years. But you're reading flesh and blood. But I want to tell you this morning, it's not flesh and blood. It's a spirit. Hear me. It's a spirit. It's a spirit. And he's after your peace. And he's after your house. It's a spirit. And God's here this morning to arrest it. Amen. And to bring order to the house, to bring restoration to those who are broken. And to bring a restoration to the children. And I'm going to prophesy further to your children's children. Let the cycle stop with you. Amen. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. If you've been in a constant battle over that thing, you know what it is. And it's been for years. I want you to lift up your hands before the Lord and say, God, I'm going to surrender this afresh. God, I want this dealt with in my life and for all. I want to have a Joshua revelation yet for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. I want you to take out the heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh. Lord, I want to be able to bow before you. I refuse to allow pride to dominate my heart. God, I turn and I humble myself. Those who humble themselves and pray, he will hear from heaven. From the wicked ways, he will hear from heaven. Hear me. All I have to do is humble myself. Father, you see our hands raised this morning. God, I curse every work of the enemy, every Leviathan spirit, every spirit of control. We break its power over my household in the name of Jesus. And God, I speak order into my house in Jesus' holy name. Order into my house. God, I say, deal with me. Deal with the Jesus. Deal with the me. That God, that I walk out of here and my household has the victory for the glory of your name. And God, I pull down right now, Lord, every form of witchcraft, Lord, in Jesus, been spoken against me and my house. Lord, every assignment of hell in Jesus' name, I break its power thereof because, Lord, I bow my knee to one and one only, which is you. And Father, I thank you that today is a brand day. Your mercies are new every morning. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. That God, I'm going to see and I'm going to hear you in my desert place and I'm going to see my children restored into the kingdom of God. Jesus' holy name. I thank you for the breakthrough in every family and every person's life here this morning in Jesus' name. And I thank you, my God, may yesterday be sealed in the power of your blood. I give you the praise and glory that I walk out of here free, because whom you've set free is free indeed in Jesus' name. And if that's you this morning, give a praise offering. Hallelujah. Oh! Blessed be your name. Father, let thousands upon thousands in the valley of decision this morning, those father, sons and daughters who have wandered, those who are still in their pigsty, spending and squandering their inheritance. Oh God, let it be time, Father, that they come back to their right mind. And Lord, let them see the arms of a loving Father. Let them not see a judgmental Father. Let them not see a judge. Let them see the arms of a loving Father, ready to put their ring on, ready to adorn them with a new garment, ready to lift them up into that place, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you. You're the God of restoration. In His name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week, successful week, and a good week. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.